Need to issue a couple corrections here. I gave Dora information for all of the bulletins in July, and I gave her the wrong information for this Sunday. So you're not going to hear a sermon this morning on slaying giants. You'll have to come back next week for that one. And the scripture lesson today is not going to be 1 Samuel 17, but it's going to be 1 Samuel 18. So we'll just erase the scripture for we'll save the scripture for next week then, Chrissy, on this one. So let me give you a brief introduction to what I'm about to read you. David has just killed Goliath, and so you can imagine that he was quite a hero all through the country. People were celebrating. Nobody thought that anyone could ever beat Goliath, but David did. And so the country was so excited, he became so famous at that time, that Saul, the king, made David the head of the army. And so David would lead the army in and out and fight the enemies, more Philistines in those days. And he was a victorious general, so you could imagine that he became even more and more popular as time went on. Now, this is going to present a problem, and that's what we're going to talk about in the sermon this morning. It was common when the army went out to battle and they would win, that they would march back into the city, into the region victorious, and people would line up on the parade route and cheer for them. And always the king would fight in the battle in those days, and as well as the general of the army. So here's what happened. From 1 Samuel 18, I'm going to begin with verse 5 here. David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. As a result, Saul set him over the army and all the people, even the servants of Saul approved. As they would all be returning home when David returned from killing the Philistine armies, the women would come out of all the towns of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with songs of joy, and with musical instruments. And the women would sing to one another as they made merry, "Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Saul was very angry, for this saying displeased him. He said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me, only 1,000. What more can David have unless he takes the kingdom from me?" And so Saul eyed David from that day on. The Lord always blesses the reading of the Holy Scripture. The first two kings of Israel were Saul and David. There was actually one in between them, but he doesn't count because he never managed to get control of the government or anything else. But Saul was the first king of Israel, and David was the second king of Israel. Now, they both, as kings in their lives, they both believed that they had been treated unfairly. Saul believed, well, you can tell from the scripture I read to you this morning, Saul thought life was unfair because David's getting all the credit. David also believed that he was being treated unfairly. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, well, I don't feel sorry for either one of them. After all, they were kings. I mean, how can they complain too much when they got to be king? But I want to remind you that to be king of Israel was not, it was not like Henry VIII at Buckingham Palace or anything like that. We're talking about a king in an area the size of Coles County. And we're talking about an area the size of Coles County that had about a dozen kings that operated in it. So let's keep in mind that to be king of Israel was about like being mayor of Mattoon, except that you had an army, whatever you could raise out of Mattoon, to be able to go out and fight, Humboldt, Charles, I don't know where the army of Mattoon, where the king of Mattoon would lead the army, but so let's not make too much of the circumstances of Saul or David. They both believed that they had been treated, that things were unfair for them. Now, Saul, he was the first king of Israel, and his main problem was David. If you were to ask Saul, what's the main thing that's unfair about life? And he would say, David, that's the unfairness of my life. I mean, after all, he has all the luck. He has the women cheering for him. He always seems to be in the right place at the right time. God seems to answer David. When I need God, where is he? But when David needs God, God's always responding to him. And so Saul was very jealous of David, and he believed that David was the cause of the unfairness that he had to suffer. In fact, Saul became so worked up about how unfair life was for him, because David was getting all the credit. He got so worked up that he even, when we read through 1 Samuel, we're kind of thinking to ourselves, this guy is really losing it here. He's a mental case, as we read through about Saul. And there was a point where Saul would get so worked up about David that he tried to kill him. David, you will recall, there are some stories in 1 Samuel, David would play the harp for Saul to try to soothe his nerves. And on one occasion, Saul, instead of being soothed, just got so obsessed with David that he took his javelin and he threw it at David, hoping to impale him against the wall. And just, I mean, one more example of bad luck. The javelin missed, and he threw it twice. It missed twice. He sent his armies out. David was hunted. He was harassed. He was hassled. And David had to flee. He had to step down from being the commander of Saul's armies, and he had to flee. He had to go live incognito among the Philistines just because Saul was going to kill him. Saul was that worked up, and so livid that life was so unfair, and that David was getting all the credit, all the glory, all the power, all of that sort of stuff. Now, David, on the other hand, also thought that life was unfair because David gave Saul everything he had. David risked his life for Saul. David loved Saul. David tried to serve Saul. And so, from David's perspective, this is so unfair because, you know, I've given this guy everything and he's hunting me down. He's trying to kill me. I'm having to hide from him now. How unfair can life be? Whenever you give somebody so much and all they try to do is destroy you. And so David also had this perspective that life was unfair. And one of the places that we see David expressing this, he expresses it a number of times in the book of Psalms, but one of the places where he expresses it, let me just read to you a few verses out of the 35th Psalm. He's writing about how he's tried to live his life in a way that's giving and generous and loving, but what does he get in return for it? Here's an example. He says, "They repay my good with evil. My soul is forlorn. As for me, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with my head bowed on my bosom, as though I grieved for a friend or a brother. I went about as one who laments for a mother, bowed down and in mourning for them. But at my stumbling, they gathered in glee. They gathered together against me, ruffians whom I do not know. They tore at me without ceasing. They impiously mock me more and more, gnashing at me with their teeth." And so here's David, and we see this in a number of the Psalms that he helped write, that life is just so unfair. I'm doing all of this stuff, and look what I'm getting back for it. Now, for Saul and for David, this sense of life being unfair, that doesn't surprise us, does it? Because I think all of us can take a look at circumstances and we can all point out how something's not fair. We can all do that. And sometimes life is not fair because there are issues of macro justice. Sometimes life's not fair because of the color of skin we have, or because of where we were born, or because of our gender, or because of a group that we happen to be a part of that is being oppressed. And sometimes life's not fair for issues I would refer to as micro justice. It's just somebody that doesn't like us, or there's somebody who's jealous of us, or there's somebody who has decided that we are a threat, and they just seem to go after us, and we can't figure out why. So there's whatever. Life is unfair. Last week I wrote in my Sunday letter, and then sent it out with the email edition, a revision of that, of 5 reasons that I love this country. And so I took that essay to a writer's workshop that I'm a part of on Friday and shared it with that group, so they pick at me and help me to improve my writing. And so I read the essay, and an older woman sitting next to me, she says, here's what I think about that essay, 5 reasons you love your country. Of course you do. You're male, you're white, you're middle class, you're highly educated, and this country treats people like you really good. Of course you love your country. And, well, this woman's been a part of the workshop, and plus I've had church members that are like that, so I can handle that sort of thing. But my response was, yes, I've been very fortunate. Life has been, in many ways, better than fair to me. But that doesn't mean that I don't also know unfairness. Because sometimes I've used those privileges that I've had in order to get into fights on behalf of people that didn't have some of those privileges. And I've been attacked too. So I know something about everybody has unfairness. Now, it doesn't help us to try to get into a fight with each other as to whether your life has been more unfair than mine is. That's not going to get us anywhere. To me, the question is not who has been treated the most unfairly. We've all been treated unfairly. And the question is, how do we handle that? How do we handle the unfairness of life? And when we read the life of David and when we read the life of Saul, we see 2 very different approaches to how they handled unfairness. And that's what I want to end the sermon with this morning, is by focusing on the difference between how Saul handled what was unfair to him and how David handled what was unfair to him. And there are 3 things that I would like to suggest to you. First of all, I'd like to suggest, as we read, and you can read more about this by reading the book of 1 Samuel. The relationship between Saul and David is recorded for us in the book of 1 Samuel. So I'm hoping, if the sermons don't do anything else at this point, I'm hoping it drives you to read 1 and 2 Samuel during the month of July here, and get some better perspective of these two. But so here's the first thing about the difference between how Saul handled unfairness and how David did. David rejoiced despite the unfair things that were happening to him, and Saul sulked because of the unfair things that were happening to him. And I want to talk about what it means to rejoice. David refers to rejoicing 42 times in the various Psalms that he wrote. It was a big issue for David. Now, to rejoice is not, it's different from being happy. Being happy is just the feeling that it's the feeling that you have. We feel happy or we don't feel happy. But to rejoice is a discipline that we follow. To rejoice means that we do things that are joyful even if we don't feel happy at the moment. There's a difference between having joy and practicing the discipline of rejoicing. And in David's times of experiencing the unfairness of life, he continually practiced the discipline of rejoicing. Yes, life is not fair. Yes, there are going to be days that are crushing. Yes, there will be times when we are just disgusted by how we're being treated compared to how we see other people being treated. Yes, those times will happen. But for David, he continually practiced the discipline of rejoicing. That meant he kept singing even when he didn't feel like it. That's the discipline of rejoicing. He danced even though maybe the day had reasons to not dance. David played even when he didn't feel playful. David would tune into nature and experience the nurture of nature and the joys of nature even when he would maybe have rather locked himself away in a room and just pitied himself. David celebrated. When it was time to celebrate, he celebrated, even though he might have had 100 reasons not to celebrate. This past week, I had more than one person say to me, you know, things are so bad in this country, I just don't feel like the 4th of July. I just don't feel like doing the 4th of July this year because I'm so disgusted with how things are. And my only response to that was, you know, we can't give in to these feelings. We have to rejoice. We have to rejoice. And because otherwise things are going to continue like they are. If we don't find our joy, if we don't practice the discipline of rejoicing, we're not going to get back to the kind of story that causes us to want to set fireworks off. Set the fireworks off anyway. David would wash and splash in the water even when he didn't feel like it. David would dress up and decorate himself even on a bad day. David would count his blessings even though he felt more of an urgency to focus on what his problems were. David would immerse himself in past stories of victory rather than get bogged down by remembering all the things of the past that were wrong. David practiced the discipline of rejoicing whenever he faced the unfairness of life. Happiness comes to us eventually less because of luck and more because of a plan. To rejoice, to feel happiness, is a result of pluck, not luck. We practice the discipline of rejoicing. Profound difference between David and Saul when they faced unfairness in life. Second thing, a second difference, a contrast between David and Saul. When they felt the unfairness of life, David expanded his thinking and Saul narrowed his thinking. The unfairness of life. Yes, life is unfair, but Saul would narrow his thinking and find himself living in a little world of self-pity. That's what it means to narrow one's thinking. That's all we can do is just live in a little, it's not even a world, it's not even a room, it's like a closet of self-pity. But David would expand his thoughts whenever he faced the unfairness of life. We're going to talk about the contest between David and Goliath next week. I mean, David could have looked at Goliath and he could have thought, how unfair God's given, I mean, God gave this guy all this bulk and God's given him a spear carrier and God's given him all this armor that he could wear. I mean, David could have gone on and on about how unfair that battle was. He could have shrunk in his thinking to the point that he would have done like everybody else in Israel and simply given up the battle. He could have narrowed his thinking that much to be like everybody else. But instead of doing that, David expanded his thinking. He remembered back to the days that he was a shepherd and he had to protect his sheep from bears and lions. In fact, I think he expanded his thinking into some imagination because somehow he seemed to recall that he handled bears with his bare hands. But anyway, that was David. He expanded his thinking. And whenever he faced the unfairness of life, instead of narrowing it down and becoming obsessed, he would expand and he would remember and he would imagine a better way, a way out. Instead of being like Saul, who focused on people who treated him unfairly, all Saul could think about were these certain people, David, namely, that he thought was a problem to him. But David expanded his thinking. Instead of focusing on those who were causing him trouble, those who were harassing him and hunting him, instead of just thinking about those people, David expanded his thinking to the point that he was able to even think about God, who once was able to deliver slaves from the Pharaoh. He would expand his thinking back to the stories of old. Saul, instead of just reacting to his feelings of anger and anxiety, we see David, instead of being like Saul, who was reacting to his feelings, David never let his feelings govern him. He expanded his thinking so that his feelings would not govern him. One of the biggest messes we can get into in our lives is to just stop thinking and let our feelings carry us along. And when we do that, when we just stop thinking, we're into an even bigger mess than whatever it was that was done to us in the first place. But David would expand his thinking to the point that he would make sure that his thinking governed his feelings. Normally, we'll talk about an exception to that by the time we get to the end of the month. When Saul believed that life was unfair, he just became more and more legalistic. But not David. David expanded his thinking to the point that he broke rules that needed to be broken. And you will recall there is a story where they're in battle and they're fighting the Philistines. And Saul makes a declaration. He said, until we beat the Philistine army, and this, he was the king, so he got to make the rules, so he decided to make a very narrow legalistic rule here, because he couldn't expand his thinking. He says, until we win this battle, nobody eats anything. Everybody, no food until you go out there and you beat those Philistines. Well, what did David do? When David found a honeycomb, he ate the honey from it, because David thought, you know, we need this. We need this nourishment. We need this strength so that we can handle the problem that's at hand. David had the ability to expand his thinking, and it didn't matter. Now, it was said that he didn't know that King Saul had given this rule, but I think we all know enough of David that even had David known that Saul had given the rule, he would have eaten the honey anyway. David expanded his thinking whenever life appeared to him to be unfair, and he found the stress building up. When Saul encountered unfairness in life, Saul fell into a script. Now, sometimes psychologists will talk about this, that we have a script that we follow. Maybe something bad has happened to us, or something didn't work out, and then the next time, you know, we find ourselves in similar situations, we think, oh, here we go again, as though, you know, it's going to be the same story, the same script. We'll find ourselves in situations and we'll say, we'll just give up. We'll say, well, I know how this is going to end. And we fall into a script. And often that's what happens when we find ourselves in a situation where we're being treated unfairly, whether it's in a family or in a church or in a workplace or in our political scene or something, we just sort of fall into a script. We know how this is going to end. But Saul kept falling into scripts. Saul could not think beyond these pre-programmed scripts. And so he acted out. He became his own worst enemy. Because without expanding his thinking, he just followed the script to his own destruction. And how often that happens. But David would not do that. David did not follow the script. David did not live by a script. He lived by a repertoire of things that he could remember that had happened in his life. And David had the capacity, when he was in a particular setting that was stressful or anxiety-producing, or that where things were unfair, David had the capacity to think back to what other people had done and to things he had done earlier in his life. He was able to borrow stories of accomplishments that he had as a shepherd and apply them when he became a king or when he was a general. He had a repertoire of responses from which he could draw in order to handle difficult situations. Saul shrunk in his thinking whenever life was unfair. David expanded his thinking. A third thing, and I'm not going to dwell on this, I just want to mention it. When life was unfair, Saul just simply cut people off. He became more and more alone, more and more isolated. He became more and more withdrawn. David, the more life was unfair, the more David was open to relationships with other people. The more he reached out, the more he found common ground with people you wouldn't think you'd find any common ground with. But while Saul withdrew from relationships, bitter about how unfair life was, David, as time went on, would increasingly invest in relationships. A profound difference between these two kings of Israel. Yes, life was unfair for Saul. When you can't read 1 Samuel without your heart breaking for Saul. Read the story. Your heart will break for him. And you will see that, yes, there were so many things that he faced that were unfair. You'll read about David. And you'll have a different feeling about David as you read through 1 Samuel. Life was unfair to him too. But you'll see that David somehow opened his mind, opened his heart, opened his arms to the gifts that God has to give, even when life is unfair. And you won't feel sorry for David as you read through 1 Samuel, because you'll realize that Samuel was blessed over and over by God in large part because he handled things differently when life brought him troubles. And the good news for us is that this isn't just an ancient story. This is a powerful story that we read in 1 Samuel. It's a story about us. It's a story about your life and my life. It's a story about options that we have and how we handle the things that come to us. In 1 Samuel, in these stories, we have a gift of God. In the examples, the contrast between these two kings. And in that gift, we can rejoice and we can be glad and we can claim power for the living of these days that we would not know otherwise.